Welcome everyone. My name is David Greenwald. I'm the creator and founder of Leanness Lifestyle University. And today I have on the phone with me a very special guest, in addition to the Success Gallery, Jamie Goffin from Indiana. Welcome, Jamie.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining me today and sharing your story with all the people that are going to be hearing this now and in the future. We'll just start right off. This is all about you, so please tell us all a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? Height? Give us all the stats.
Okay, well, I'm Jamie Goffin. I live in Crown Point, Indiana, about an hour outside of Chicago. I am 49.9 years old, going to be 50. And I'm 5'7 and a half. I am a full-time stay-at-home wife, I guess. I have no children, but I stay home because it's my passion to be home. And we have a few acres out here in Crown Point. I love to garden and to cook and to fix up the old farmhouse. So I try to follow my passions that way and live simply out here.
A lot of the people listening are going to be somewhat familiar with you, and a lot of them won't.
Mm-hmm.
But you have some passions out there and some things that are of interest to you. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Okay. Well, my passions are first and foremost home and family, and I love gardening. I love cooking. I really like making home. I like trying to live as frugally as possible so that I can stay home. I love to clean. I have a bit of a vacuum fetish.
tell us. Fill it in.
I have a great habit. I was going to say it's a bad habit, but I think it's a great habit of vacuuming every day. I've been known to vacuum 2 times a day, maybe or once or twice. I vacuum 3 times in a day. I like things neat and tidy. I'm getting a lot better since I'm able to control myself maybe more than I used to be. I don't feel such a need to kind of control my surroundings as much as I did, but I do like things very neat and tidy. I like order in the home. I think it's really important to have a home that has order and it's clean. And I love to spend time with my friends. I like to make anything that can be made. If it can be made, I want to know how to make it. I like to make rugs. I like to sew and knit and make soap. I think I was just born too late.
I think it's just right. Let's start getting people a little bit into why we're here today, and let's start with a little bit of history, your weight history and stuff, and you go back as far as you want to go.
Okay.
What I'd like to know is kind of a Cliff Notes version of what you've done in the past, when you first maybe noticed or thought about your weight. Kind of take us through the journey here a little bit in a Cliff Notes version.
Okay. Well, I was real thin as a child, you know, and then when I got to be right around puberty, I guess it was 12, 13, I just started getting chubby. My whole family was chubby. My aunts, uncles, you know, when I think about it now, everybody in my family is overweight. So I think a lot of it was just habits that I learned as a child. I just learned that food was kind of a friend, kind of a comfort as I was a teenager. So by the time I was 14, I was about 160. I remember being about 160 and my mom wanting me to go to Weight Watchers. And I went to Weight Watchers at 14. And it's pretty much just been a roller coaster since then, up and down, this diet, that diet, trying to just learn to eat intuitively. But my intuition always told me to have donuts for breakfast. Never, you know, my mind never told me to eat a vegetable, you know, never. It was always like a Snicker bar would be great for lunch, you know, and if that's all you eat, then that's fine. My weight just fluctuated up and down, and it would come down somewhat and then fluctuate much higher than it ever started. And so my highest weight was 287, and that was about 1997 was my highest weight.
So the up and down we go, and I would imagine you, besides Weight Watchers, you've tried a number of commercial programs or gimmicks or pills, powders, potions.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
I think I've tried everything. I've tried fasting. I tried, you know, the OptiFast shakes that Oprah you know, made famous. I did Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, Physicians Weight Loss Systems, LA. There was something called LA something. I can't remember what that was, but I just remember going to a doctor. I did the HCG shots in my stomach. I did probably Weight Watchers about, I probably joined about 10 times. Probably about 10 different times I joined Weight Watchers because I kept thinking, that's the one that seems to make the most sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could count my points and, you know, lose weight. And sadly, I ate all my points in Weight Watcher ice cream sandwiches, you know. But I thought, oh, I'm within my points. You know, I ate ice cream sandwiches today, but I'm within my points. And mm-hmm. I thought I was doing okay, you know. I just never changed the way I ate. And then just, you know, a lot of like, well, I just need to exercise more. Well, I just need to eat half. Let me just cut my food in half, you know, instead of eating a whole bagel, I'll eat a half a bagel. And, you know, it's just maddening because there's not a day. And I think at that point, at my highest weight, or even when I was, you know, still around 250, there's like, you're tormented, like just day after day, hour after hour, I just had this mental torment. It seemed like all I thought about was my weight, how out of control I was, and what was I going to do about it.
You found Lena's Lifestyle when?
I found you through a Google search on body transformation. I think it was 2004 I found you, and I joined your program and had success with you, and unfortunately just didn't stay with it.
So when you say you had success, Jamie, you went from what to what?
I went from 250 to, I think my lowest, which I didn't stay at long at all, was like right around 155.
So here we are now.
Yep.
And we're obviously talking for a reason. And I want to bring out that past, and I want to bring out the ups and downs, and I want to ask some questions about it, because I think it's important that people have a real sense of what the real journey is like. People can watch infomercials if they want the fake, you know, and if they do, they do. But if they want the real and what a real success looks like, I think it's important that we bring out what really, you know, has transpired. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important that people see that you didn't give up and you didn't go to Weight Watchers for that 11th time. Instead, you came back. Now, you were around the program, but I guess really it was about 6 years
mm-hmm.
between, you know, action phases, serious action phases.
Right.
And so, but, you know, one of the things I want to ask before I even get into that is, why do you think it was that you, I mean, if your whole family is heavy
mm-hmm.
and you grew up with a heavy family and you were heavy and you were used to it and been around it and, you know, the overwhelming majority, 2/3 of Americans are overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you just go, okay, this is just me?
I have never accepted the fact that that was going to be who I was. I tried to, but I could never embrace myself as the 250-pound Jamie. I just knew there was always a better way to live. I knew that the reason I was 250 pounds was because of myself, whether it was addictive behavior. You know, when you're sitting at 250 pounds and you've been there or higher or somewhere around there for the majority of your life, you know, you start to think, this must just be my lot in life, you know. If you can't lose it, then decorate it, you know. And I went through that stage where I thought, well, I'll just try to look the best I can, even at 250, you know. I'll make sure my hair looks good. I'll put some earrings on. And I just never would accept that that's who I was going to be. And I just fought it constantly. And I think that's probably why I was so tormented, because if I could have just said, oh, you know, this is just who I am, love me or leave me, I could never go there. I could never go there mentally, and I still refuse to ever go there mentally. I just think that it can always be better. You can always make yourself better. You can always live a better life, and I'm just always pursuing that, even though sometimes I don't know how to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out how to pursue it. So does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there was just something within you that just said, this just isn't what my destiny is. There's something more in me that, you know,
right.
that I know I'm capable of, even though I may not exactly know how.
Right. Right. Or and that. I always wanted to look better. And then so much of it was, you know, wanting to look better, wanting to look better, you know, and then as I started getting into my 40s, and then it kind of transpired into, wow, I just want to still be able to do what I want to do. I still want to be able to get in the garden and be able to push the wheelbarrow around and get up and down and climb the ladders and fix the house and, you know, do all these things. And the weight and the age, you know, not a good combination at all. So, and then seeing my family, you know, watching my nephew grow up and thinking, well, I really want to be able to watch him grow up and have his own family, you know, and where I'm headed right now, I'm going to be robbed of that. So
that's, in other words, that's what you were thinking when you were 250 plus.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting into my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's when my thought processes started going there.
Excellent. Well, when you were 287,
yeah.
What size clothes were you wearing?
I was a size 26 jeans, okay. Which I still have that pair of size 26 jeans, and my nephew and I can both just about fit in them. I still can't get like both my legs into one of the pant legs, but I know that eventually I will be able to, and then I'll have that photo opportunity. But yeah, like giant size clothing.
So where are you now? What are you weighing now?
I'm 172 this morning, 172. And I'm in a size 10 jeans now.
Oh, and you're 5'7".
Yeah, I'm pretty fabulous.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, at least I feel fabulous anyway.
You are. Well, as I told you after, you know, talking to you on the phone and seeing you in person too here just recently, I can't give you amazing, fabulous reasons for you to continue to lose more, and it all has to come from within.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later. But that, all I mean by that is you really do look great, and you wear it well. And so you're 172, size 10.
Mm-hmm.
You lost, you know, what you did is you did boot camp 14.
Right.
And so talk about that just a little bit. It was 20 weeks. It was the start of 2011 through June-ish of 2011. You know, what did you do in that boot camp 14?
Well, what I did in the boot camp 14, it was just exactly what I needed when I needed it. And I remember I had just come back to the club realizing that, you know, since I worked with you in the past, I just absolutely love working with you. There is nothing like it there, and I don't think there ever will be anything like it ever again. It's and once you do work with you, I think you're ruined for the rest of your life, pretty much. To think that you're going to go to any other program and that it's going to be remotely the same help as you give. I came back to the club because I think it was in January or, you know, and of course everybody starts thinking about it again in January, and it was like last January. I had the thought that I don't care if I lose another pound or not. I'm coming back to the club because you and the other people in the club are just so positive and so much about personal growth. And I thought I wanted to be associated with that, whether I lost any more weight or not. I just knew that being in the club would be a positive thing for me. So then when I came back to the club, and then that's when I had found out about you doing the boot camp, and I was scared to death for a lot of reasons. I was scared to death because I had just, you know, recently lost my job, and I thought the last thing I should be doing is spending the money. And then I was just scared because I thought, well, what if I fail again? What if, you know, what if I take the weight off and it doesn't stick this time again, you know? So I just had a lot of fear, I guess, just call it fear. I was just nervous. But when the boot camp started, like I said, it was exactly what I needed. You know, I felt like I was at a time in my life where I needed to do something extreme. It was so intense, and I loved all the camaraderie on the forum. I tend to require a lot of interaction. I used to not like that about myself, but now I just kind of accept it. I need a lot of interaction. I need to talk a lot. I need to bounce things off of people a lot, and that's just my personality type. So the boot camp forum worked fabulously for me for that. I could chat up a storm there. And just putting it, like, it forced me to put myself first, because if I didn't put myself first during the day, during boot camp, I was going to fail miserably at boot camp. And I'm competitive, and I liked, you know, it's like, I want to be at least in the top 10, you know, and I would try to have that as a goal, like, keep yourself in the top 10, Jamie, you know, and so it helped with that competitive nature that I have. I continued to learn how to eat. It kind of motivated me to get into the gym, keep my score up, everything like that. I just loved it. I can't wait to boot camp. this February.
Commonly, a boot camp is thought of as something that people attend and they get a military type boot camp workout, you know, mm-hmm. and our boot camp is different. Our boot camp is an online experience on the phone, online, and what we do is we teach and educate people to take control of their life in the weight loss arena and beyond. And we do it with telephone. We do it with the internet. We do it with education. We do it with there's testing and quizzes and assignments and all kinds of things like that. But while that can be, you know, somewhat intimidating, as you said, Jamie, scary, we have a high percentage of people that do incredibly well with it and graduate. And my goal with it, of course, is to educate people so that they can become empowered to take control of this part of their life once and for all. Mm-hmm. Eventually, completely on their own, with the occasional tune-up as may be necessary. Because weight loss, I want to make sure this is clear, because we're all about authenticity, and I want to make sure everyone knows that weight loss is a maintenance adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that there are going to be tune-ups likely necessary,
right.
And there are going to be maintenance activities and whatnot that are going to be necessary all throughout the life of someone who has fought their weight. And doesn't mean you have to be attached at the hip. It doesn't mean you have to marry your coach. But it does mean that there are going to be, in all likelihood, tune-ups from time to time that are going to be necessary. So, but in your boot camp, what weight did you go from and to?
I went from I think when I came back to the club, I was like 255. Then when boot camp started, I think I want to say it was like 248. And then I honestly don't remember. I think I was still over 200 when boot camp ended. I think I was like 202 or 203, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're right. Right, and that was near the end of June.
Right.
And I think that's an important point right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
We're just barely in 2011. We're almost into 2012 as you and I do this recording. But you were just slightly over 200
right.
at the end of June, and today,
yeah.
after Thanksgiving,
yeah.
after Christmas,
yeah.
you're 172.
Yes, I am. Miracles.
I mean, that's another
miracles.
I mean, that's another 30 pounds.
Yeah, for me to have gone through the holidays without hitting 200 again is pretty fantastic for me. You know, and I try not to judge myself or my success by anybody else's success. And just to, you know, I think of how great I did this Christmas. I did minimal baking, and Christmas Day, it was, you know, by midnight on Christmas Day, it was gone. It was out of the house. It was either in the garbage or it was sent home with other people. And that has just never happened before, you know. So when I think of that, that's a huge success for me. What's not to love about that? I think that's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What would be a typical day for you, let's say during the action phase of boot camp, and then let's compare that. Let's assume that it's a day you're going to exercise. So tell us a little bit about your nutrition when you're in action in a boot camp. Tell us a little bit about your exercise when you're in a boot camp. And then maybe tell us a little bit about if there's any differences between that and your nutrition when you are more maintaining, and your exercise when you're maintaining. Do the comparison there so people get an idea of what they might be getting themselves into if they ever do a boot camp, or at least give them an idea of what you did.
Okay. Well, during my action phase, when I'm, you know, really wanting to get after it. I'll get up and I'll have like about a 20 egg white omelet with about, oh, I don't know, 8 cups of broccoli.
What? What?
I just wanted to see if you're listening.
Are you? Wait a minute, did you join the World Strongman Federation and I didn't know it? What happened?
I'm in training right now, Coach. No, I would basically have either like some egg whites with a whole egg and like maybe some vegetables thrown in it. Probably about 4 egg whites, something like that. But I quickly became rather tired of the eggs. So I would have oatmeal and some cottage cheese. Then I found out I had some dairy issues. So basically my breakfast, action or no action, I'm having my homemade turkey sausage and fruit. And I always try to eat fruit seasonally. So right now I'm eating, you know, apples and oranges basically. But in the summer, there's so many more fruits available. So I always love my breakfast of turkey sausage and fruit. And like I said, now or in action, that's what I'm doing. And then I would have a mid-morning snack of fruit. And then my lunch, because I am home and I don't have to, like, pack lunch to go somewhere, I have a lot more freedom than maybe some people do. But it could easily be cooked ahead and brought and just reheated in a microwave or whatnot if you were working. I do, I call it my 4x4. And what I would try to do is take 4 ounces of lean protein, whether that's chicken or turkey or ground sirloin or something like that. I would take 4 ounces, and then I would try to use 4 cups of vegetables, and I call it my 4x4. And it always just kind of varied. You know, I might have 2 cups of cabbage and a cup of onions and a cup of green peppers all chopped up, and I would throw that in a saucepan with about a teaspoon of olive oil and 4 ounces of chicken and just cook it till it was done and throw a little salt and pepper on it, and that would be my lunch. And then, again, in the afternoon, if I felt terribly hungry, I'd have another piece of fruit. But most of the time, that would satisfy me well until supper. And then my supper was pretty similar to what I had for lunch. I might have a rice, maybe some brown rice, or a sweet potato. I've really come to love my sweet potatoes. So I would have a nice big sweet potato and some protein and a nice large salad, something like that. And it's a lot of food. It's when you're eating, you know, the right amount of vegetables and even the right amount of calories, because of what you're eating, it's a lot of food.
The higher the quality of the food, the more in volume that you are going to get, no doubt about it. If you were to lay it out compared to, you know, donuts and Snickers bars and things like that, volume of food is tremendous. And that kind of wraps up your day.
Pretty much. And like the days where I'm thinking like, well, you know, because really I haven't been in action probably, I don't know, the last month. You know, I've just been kind of holding. I'll go up a few pounds, kind of go down a few pounds. I've been pretty much maintaining for quite some time now. And I still basically eat the same way. I think I'm maybe eating some more fruits during the day. I kind of had a little love affair with nuts there for a while, and I'm having to watch that because they're, like you had told me before, they're just so easy to overeat and so calorically dense. So basically I pretty much eat the same, but just more.
So what about exercise then? What's exercise look like for you in action, and what's it look like when you're maintaining?
In action, I was working out during boot camp. I would do 5 to 6 days a week. I was doing about 45 minutes to an hour on my elliptical on those days, and then working out with weights. I was doing 3 times a week for about 35, 40 minutes at a time. And now, I'm just going to use like this month in my maintenance that I've been doing, I'm probably like at 4 days a week. And what I do first, I just do my weights first, because right now what I'm really wanting to concentrate on is weight training. And I'll do my weights first, and however long it takes me, say if I do 20 minutes, then I'll finish up with 40 minutes of cardio just to make it an hour at a time. Or if I work out longer with weights, if I do 30 minutes with weights, then I'll do another 30 minutes of cardio.
Oh my gosh, Jamie, why in the world are you focusing on weights? You're going to bulk up.
I'm not afraid of bulking up, my goodness. I'm afraid that I'm not going to get bulky enough.
Yeah. So why do you, I mean, I know you have great confidence after working with me long enough that, you know, weight training is not going to bulk you up, but why is weight training important to you? In fact, you said, you know, you've got it up front to give it some priority. So why is it so important to you when so many women are afraid to do the weight training?
That's one of the things that my friends that, you know, it's when you're going through a transformation like this, when you've lost this amount of weight and you tend to attract a lot of attention from your friends, and I can't say that I don't like that. I love the attention. But then you start having people ask me, well, what are you doing? Well, how are you doing it? And, well, you know, and then when I tell them, you know, like I remember telling my one girlfriend that because I work out here at home, but I did join the gym just because I needed, like, the squat machine and things like that. I needed to start getting to some heavier weights for my legs that I wasn't able to do here at home. But there's, like, the days I do chest and biceps, I have enough dumbbells and barbells here at home. I'll just do that at home instead of driving to town. But I remember telling my girlfriend, like, oh, I need to get some 25-pound dumbbells. And she was just appalled. She's like, why would you ever be lifting that much weight? You surely be lifted, like doing, you know, bicep curls with 5 pounds. And it's just, it's hard not to, you know, it's hard not to laugh, but I try to tell my friends, you know, no, you need to lift as heavy as you can. You know, you need to build your muscles. And, you know, they all think that you're going to start looking like, you know, some crazy muscly woman, and you're not. Muscles are so beautiful, and I love to see, you know, what little definition I do have. I get really excited when I see it. I love to work out with weights. I love the way your body starts looking. And especially for a woman my age, and wanting to do the things that I want to do, wanting to do the gardening, wanting to do the, you know, building things out in the yard, you know, moving heavy things, doing stuff like that. I just need that strength, and especially as I age, you know, I want to be able to, I have a feeling I might be one of those, you know, crazy cat women when I'm 80 years old and maybe have like 30 cats.
Yeah.
I would need to be lifting the 50-pound bags of cat food around, so I'm going to need those muscles.
Yeah, yeah, there's so many, you know, awesome reasons to do the weight training, but I just think it's important to point out that we do put some focus on that. I don't put more focus on that than I do cardio, but man or woman, we do put some focus on progressive resistance training,
mm-hmm.
and trying to move beyond just using, you know, the 2 and 5 pound dumbbells and so forth and calling that weight training.
Right.
We got just a little bit of a snapshot as far as what you ate and a little bit of a snapshot as far as, you know, what and how much exercise you were doing. So I want to ask, because of, you know, you had the 2004 with me and
mm-hmm.
and then 2011. And mm-hmm. what I always say is you may lose the same weight. Now, I continue to work on and making the program so that we do this once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ideal is one and done.
Right.
The reality is that's what we're striving for. And there are people who do it. So it doesn't mean that, you know, someone listening can't.
Right.
It's not uncommon. I call them passes. It's not uncommon to make a couple passes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. And I think it's important that people listening can understand and realize that they're not alone. If this is their second, third, 15th, or 27th pass. But I also think it's important that we, you know, that I at least, you know, mention the difference between a pass and a false start. You know,
mm-hmm.
a false start is when you wake up on your Monday morning and you start, and by Monday afternoon, you're done.
Right.
Or you wake up on Monday morning, you start, and by Wednesday, you're done.
Right.
I don't consider that a pass. If we consider those passes, you know, then there might be somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 passes, you know.
Exactly.
That are done. But all of this, you know, is just, I really want to ask you, because I do say that even though you may lose the same weight,
mm-hmm.
Depending,
mm-hmm.
it's not the same journey. It's not the same transformation experience. You would have had 6 more years of life,
mm-hmm.
6 more years of experience doing this, that, and the next thing. And then with boot camp, I'm just going to go ahead and say that there would be an increase in your education about all that might have been the issues all along.
Right.
So what I'd like you to, you know, at least briefly mention, Jamie, is what's the difference? I mean, the people listening could be like, okay, well, hey, great. She lost the weight again.
Right.
So she should be 250 by May.
Exactly.
May of 2012. And I'd just like to hear from you, you know, as best you can, why you believe, if you do, that that's not going to happen, even though
history shows that it.
We've got the history and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think, again, it's just keeping this real. Why is that going to not be the case if it's not?
Well, I would say that this time is different because during the boot camp, you really helped me to address some issues that I feel like have been underlying issues all along that I maybe never really wanted to face. And that is one of the issues is food addiction. And I feel that I have come to acceptance, not 100% acceptance, but I've really come to acceptance that, yes, I am a food addict, and I'm dealing with issues of food addiction, which I've never wanted to really face in the past. I always felt like I could control it. I can control it. History shown that I can't control it. And then once I eliminated the wheat from my diet and the dairy, saw tremendous difference in how I felt, in how my weight fluctuated differently when I would have it. And so I think that between the two, those have been the greatest. The food addiction issues and then especially the food allergy symptoms that I have and that you helped me to realize that I had, and how we proved it over and over again with any time I would try to, you know, reintroduce those foods into what I was eating, the effects that I had, mainly cognitively, I would say they affected me, and physically, wheat affects me a great deal. It gives me like a ravenous appetite, and I think that having that out of my eating plan really helps me to control my eating so much. And just also the different lessons that we had during boot camp about biological drives and overcoming those, you know, using logic, which I know is probably not going to make maybe some sense to somebody listening right now. But so many of the teachings during boot camp, eye-opening. And it just felt like with that, with the maturity that I have, you know, getting older, food sensitivities, food addiction, and learning just some basic logical reasons really helped me get a handle on my eating. And I truly don't believe that I'll ever go back to being obese again.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's important that it's a part of a journey that's real. And if we increase the education, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about, you know, the value of broccoli.
Right.
And I'm not talking about how important it is to hop on the treadmill. But the education I'm talking about are the nuggets of information and the real hardcore information that's necessary relating to compulsive eating,
exactly.
Food addiction, allergies,
exactly. mm-hmm.
sensitivities,
mm-hmm.
and the individual differences that may be there from person to person. One of the things mm-hmm. that we do, especially in a boot camp, is we ferret out what might be not only the food culprits, but also the issues that may have gone unreconciled for too long.
Exactly.
And
exactly. And you know, like yours is the only program. Who else addresses that? Nobody. You know, when I think of Nutrisystem or Jenny Craig, what they wanted to do was hand me some, you know, prepackaged foods that were loaded. I mean, I probably didn't have one real piece of food in it. It's just nothing but preservatives, additives, all things that I've come to find out that I'm very sensitive to. It's just nothing but processed food. It doesn't teach you anything. You know, you're just told, eat this today, and you do, and you lose the weight. But you're not learning how to put a meal together. You're not learning how to feed yourself real food. You're not learning, you know, what one little ingredient will do to your nutrition for the day as far as skewing it so much higher in fat than you should be eating this meal at, or, you know, that your carbs and your proteins are out of balance. And I just feel like I've really learned how to eat using your nutrition professor.
Well, and I think, too, that one of the things we focus on, one of the reasons that so many don't do it is because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's and I don't mean it's hard for you. It, you know, yes, there's a lot of effort, but I mean, it's harder to teach and to actually be involved in people's lives at that level.
Yeah.
It's my passion. So I love what I do, but it is what it is. It's a lot easier to hand somebody meals or tell somebody the value of broccoli and exercise, tell them to eat less and exercise more. That's a lot easier than getting into not only how to eat and not only what to eat and not only what foods are sensitive, but, you know, how about this, Jamie? I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time in boot camp and beyond on this, and this is really, to me, a rubber meets the road. But getting into the individual reasons that food is more in your life than it needs to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once we start reconciling some of those things, and there's some increased level of acceptance, which, let's face it, for anyone listening who's struggling with their weight, these are things that will need to be addressed at some level.
Right.
And until they are, there won't be, a lot of times there won't be short-term success, but there also won't be long-term success. But I'll say it in reverse. And when they are, and they are addressed, and that education is brought to it, well, the weight loss can come off incredibly easy. And, I mean, by comparison. And that's when you've got the best opportunity to keep it off. And that's where I see you now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I really do agree with you. I feel like I finally have been willing to do the hard work and willing to really see how food, and I touched on it before, but because it is the hard stuff. It is the stuff that, you know, you think, ah, geez, what's wrong with me? You know, why in the world is it that, you know, Dairy Queen can make me feel completely loved, completely fulfilled, and who doesn't want that feeling, you know? And why is it that I can't get away from it? Why is it that, you know, I constantly turn to food? Why is it that food has somehow become my identity? You know, oh, you're a good cook. You know, you bake well. And it in some way validated me in some way that's what I did good. I did food good. And so when you take in the taking that away from me, which is how I felt in the beginning, like, well, you're taking this away from me. You're taking my identity away. If Jamie doesn't cook well, what does Jamie do well? You know, in reality, I do a lot of things well, but for whatever reason, that was my most special thing. You know, that was my, and the way I see it now, that was my way of hiding my addiction behind my apron, that I could bake all these wonderful treats every day and then I could eat them. You know,
sure.
So the reality is that I still cook well. I just cook good food well now, and it's an exciting journey. It's a really exciting journey if you're willing to really be honest with yourself and be willing to be stripped bare. That's how I feel like at times I've just been stripped bare, and I feel like I've not known who I was at times, you know. But it's exciting reinventing yourself.
And, you know, I think back to all the conversations that we had, and just, you know, you can't think back to everyone individually, of course, but I think back to, you know, there were a lot of emotional conversations as you were, I keep using the word reconciling, as you were reconciling some of the feelings that you've had for so long over your relationship with food. But
yeah, I'm a little bit emotional at times.
Just slightly. Well, what are some of the key biggest differences that you notice about you, you know, at the weight you are now compared to 250 or 280? What are some of the benefits of all this stuff we're talking about of reconciling the real food issues and learning and educating and really getting to the bottom of things? Is it worth it? What do you notice?
Oh, it is so worth it. It is beyond worth it. I've always been a pretty happy person, but I think when you're 287 pounds, you're happy, but underneath the happy mask is a lot of despair, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger towards yourself. And I just don't feel that way anymore towards myself. I feel like I carried this burden of self-loathing, self consciousness, like constantly, like, you know, constantly thinking about myself, like, oh my gosh, how do I look? Oh, who's, oh, so-and-so's looking at me. Oh gosh, I hope they don't notice, you know, that, you know, I remember like sitting, anytime I would sit somewhere on a couch, I would always put a pillow in my lap because, you know, look, somehow that would hide it. Somehow I could sit here with a pillow on my lap and you're not going to realize that I'm morbidly obese. Anytime I went to, say, the theater, I would go to sit down and I would be so self-conscious that I wasn't going to spill over into the other seat, you know, and make the other person uncomfortable. Or so I just felt like it was this huge focus on self, but yet it wasn't focus on self in let's change this. It was just a focus on myself. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm miserable. Oh my gosh, I can't stand myself like this. Oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And now that is gone. And in its place is all this time to focus on others, to focus on wonderful, positive things, to be happy, to actually live a life that's not focused on yourself in an unhealthy way, but focused on yourself in a very healthy way. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. I wake up every day thinking of what can I do for somebody else today to, you know, to make them happy, because I'm already happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. No, I love it. And I love how you brought out, you know, that there's energy and focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much now, from what I'm hearing, is it's so much now about it moving, that energy and focus is in a positive direction instead mm-hmm. of more self-negative, loathing direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And my mind still has not caught up to my body at times. Like this morning I put on a new pair of pants that I just bought and I'm holding them up and I didn't try them. I never try on clothes before I buy them. I just buy them and get them home. I don't know. I still have this, like, still don't want to see myself in the mirror at the changing room. But so I always bring home clothes and then try them on. If they don't fit, I bring them back. But I'm holding these pants. I'm in a size 10 and I'm looking at them like, there's no way my rear end is going to fit in those things. And they just slid on like a glove, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And then, you know, like, I just know, even now when I'll go in certain places, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to fit, I'm not going to fit, you know, I'm not going to fit through there, and I'll fit through there. And so my mind still has to catch up with my body at times, you know, or I'll see myself in the mirror, I'm like, what? Look at that. it's just fun. It's so worth it. It's fun. You know, there's still sometimes that it's hard, or, you know, you think, oh, you know, really, do I have to get, you know, do I have to work out today? But when you do, you just get such a great feeling that you're honoring yourself and, you know, you're making positive changes in your life. It's actually harder to skip a workout now, you know, than it is to actually just do it. And, I'm happy. I don't feel like I need my ADD meds anymore since I've eliminated the foods that were causing me to feel like I needed them in the first place. I still deal with, you know, ADHD, but I feel like I have the strength to deal with it on my own now than needing to, you know, rely on medication. Everybody around me has noticed a huge change. I'm just a lot calmer. I don't feel the need to make people like me anymore. I felt that I always had to, you know, be the clown, be the funny girl, you know, to kind of make up for what I felt like I lacked in looks, or I just felt like I had to work hard at making people like me. And now, I don't want to say I don't care what people think about me, but I really kind of don't. I really don't need anybody else's approval. I feel like I have my own approval, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. it seems to be quite enough, you know, anymore, so.
Well, we love you as you are.
Okay.
And,
you.
You've got such a great spirit, and, I would hope that, you know, just you being who you are and feeling good in that, because you really do, you light up the room, and you've just got a great, fun, natural spirit without, you know, even trying to overdo it. So
thank you.
It's so nice to hear that, that it feels, you know, more natural to just feel more comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, and people are going to be wondering, oh yeah, but that's her, but you know, that's not me. I'm different and all that kind of good stuff. And they have tried a variety of things, you know, 5, 10, 25, 555 time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I know.
Whatever.
I know the feeling.
And that's the thing. You do know the feeling. What would your advice be to the person listening who may be wondering about, you know, either doing Boot Camp 15 or another boot camp or joining or even just trying again rather than accepting the obesity?
I wish that somehow you could just, you know, telepathically help somebody to feel what you're feeling or to know the hope, you know, or that I could do a hope transfusion, you know, to somebody right now, because I look back at my picture just from February. Coach, just February. This is December, end of December. But just February, when you think of it in the grand scheme of things, it's just a blink of time. And in that, what I consider blink of time, I have changed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I feel like I've changed in every way that somebody could be changed. And if, you know, I'm almost 50 years old, I'm finally getting it, you know.
Sure.
I always have to learn the hard way. I'm the type of person that I will stick my hand in the fire to learn that it's hot. I've just always been that way. I just want people to know to never, ever give up. I will, with my dying breath, be trying to be a better person, whether it's to be a kinder person, to be a more generous person, to be a more tolerant person, to be a more fit person. You know, I'm very interested in being fit. I don't want to just be thin. I want to be fit. And so I will go to my dying breath trying. And I just wish that everybody else could have that perseverance or that hope. And I just want to say, don't wait until you feel like it. You know you want it. Just start. Just take the first step. Just take the first step. Put your money out there one more time, because you know you're going to eventually do it again anyway. Put your money out there one more time and join boot camp. Put your money out there one more time and join the Leanness Lifestyle. I truly believe, in my experience, it's the best program that ever was, ever will be. I can't say enough good things about it. You know that, Coach. You know that I swear I'd just be in the gutter, you know, with marshmallows all over me if it wasn't for you.
You would. You'd actually be inside a marshmallow bag.
I would be inside. And I don't even like marshmallows that much. But you put some marshmallows in front of me, I just can't stay out of them. And I don't even really like them. But, no, I would seriously, like, be in the gutter smeared in chocolate or something like that. clutching my M&M bag.
Right.
But I just know, I believe 100% everything in me, just one more time. Give it one more time.
Your words, you know, are, I just think, incredibly impactful. You've lived it. You know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't a one and done. You know, you weren't, well, at 19, yeah. I was a little bit heavy and I got it off and I've kept it off for life.
Right, right.
You know, that's not even who Leanness Lifestyle, look, if Leanness Lifestyle can help that person, great. But our typical client is someone who has struggled a long time.
I think God has reserved you for the hardcore cases. I really do. I think that, I don't know, you just have a gift for working with people. And I know, I mean, even though I truly know that this is it, you know, I'm not going to see 200 pounds again. I'm hoping I'm never going to see 175 again, you know. But I know, because of what you've taught me, I know that it's going to be, I'm not going to say it's been a constant battle, because I don't, to me that puts a negative spin on it. It's not negative. It's just going to be, you know, I'm just going to have to always be vigilant, you know, and think, okay, you know, keep track of this, you know, don't hide. And we talked about this before, I have a tendency to hide. It's like, if I don't eat right for 2 or 3 days, I don't want to get, you know, I just, let's hide from the scale for a while. And now I'm mature enough to know that first time of starting to act like that, that's turning around and going the wrong way. And, you know, you just have to keep it real, be honest with yourself, and not be perfect, just be better.
That's a great way to conclude, you know, the interview right there, is you don't have to be perfect. It's just all about getting a little bit better one day at a time. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But I love so much, and I'm just going to mention this. You know, I love so much. You said, I wish I could give people a hope transfusion. And that's,
yeah,
that's really cool, because that's something that a lot of people are going to need to be able to take that leap one more time. And, and so I'll just say this, Jamie, you're an absolute joy to work with. I so appreciate being a part of your journey and your life. And I look forward to working with you in the future. I know that you're still not quite settled into exactly where you want to be. So in 2012, you're going to be continuing to move forward in your own way, in whatever way you see fit. But I know that you want to continue on, and I know
that
you've got another lower number or two that you want to reach.
Yes, and, I want single digit pants. I want single digit pants, and I want muscles in my arms, and I want to be a force to be reckoned with.
There you go. Well, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with us and sharing a part of your life with the listeners. And if you want to do what Jamie's done, you want to be a part of what Jamie's done, then we do it different at Leanest Lifestyle. We do it more comprehensively, but we still do it in a way that we deliver it in bite-sized chunks, even though in boot camp, it is intense, but it hasn't been set up to create failure. It's been set up to help people succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of your internet skills, or regardless of your past experience, and regardless of your knowledge or education or background, we serve, you know, anyone, man or woman, who is wanting to get, you know, in our boot camps, we like it for people that have at least 15 pounds to lose. But it could be a little less, but we have people that have 200 pounds to lose too. So, and everything in between. And as Jamie said, you know, I pride myself in working with people that have struggled a long time and might be what some would consider the hard cases. But I also enjoy working with the ones who just need a tune-up and know that they can get the 15 pounds off if they just have some structure. Jamie, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
I'll give you the last word if you want it. Otherwise, we'll just say goodbye to everyone, and we'll catch up with you in 2012.
Well, the last word I would say is, again, don't give up on yourself. You don't have to live a life of self-loathing, no energy, constantly disappointed in yourself, constantly wishing you would change. You know, just to take the first step, know there's help out there. You know that you can do it. And within months, less than a year, you could be a totally different person. You could be the person that you want to be. And the only thing that's holding you back is yourself. And once you learn what's holding you back and how you hold yourself back, and that's what I learned through you, once you learn that, there's no stopping you. So the sky's the limit. You can be who you want to be. You can be the person you've always dreamed to be. And that's who I'm starting to see in the mirror. And I love it.
I love it. That's great. Well, Jamie, thank you again so much. We'll talk to you and maybe catch up with you and do a tune-up call in 2012 and make sure everyone knows just how well you're continuing to do. But in the meantime, thank you again so much for your time today. And everyone listening, thank you for listening. And you know where to find me, at leanestlifestyle.com or lluniversity.com. Goodbye, everyone.